Let's continue to pray for the people of Ukraine and for the people of Russia as well, and for our leaders, as we have spoken about in past weeks. It's very likely that things are going to get even more brutal for the people of Ukraine. So let's keep them in our prayers. We are going to jump back into our study of the book of 1 Corinthians. We were at chapter 12, speaking about spiritual gifts, and we're going to try to finish up that message. I ended up having to break it off about halfway, so we're going to try to finish it up. We'll be in chapters 12 and 14. But before we do that, I want to read you from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, and then we're going to pray. And this is the promise that God gave his people at a future date about the coming of the Spirit. So, then after doing all of those things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. And so Peter referenced that same passage when he spoke to the people, the coming of the Spirit upon the church starting up in Acts chapter 2. And so we're today going to be speaking about the gifts of the Spirit, about how God has empowered his people down through the many years since the church was established. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, thank you once again for being able to gather in freedom, to gather, Lord, not having to worry that this very building would be shelled. Lord, thank you for the security that we have enjoyed and for those who have made it possible. Lord, we do raise our prayers for the people of Ukraine, for that nation, and Lord, for the people of Russia as well, impacted by this war. And Father, thank you for those who are opening up their homes and their hearts to help people who are on the run for their very lives. Please help them. And Lord, help us as we turn our attention here to your word and to your purposes. Lord, help us to see that we have our time here in this life. And Lord, help us as believers to want our lives to be useful for you and for your purposes. And we ask you, Lord, to speak through your word by your Spirit to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's go to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians there. Jesus had told his followers, his disciples, that he would be leaving and that he would be sending them a helper, the Holy Spirit, that would be in them. And what we are seeing now as we look at this passage, chapter 12, this is early on in the life of the church. Paul wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit somewhere around 55 A.D., some years after Jesus had returned to heaven. And he had given the disciples their work to do. And so this is an important question. We see that if you remember us talking about in weeks gone by that Paul had ministered for about a year and a half there in Corinth, and he had established a church and moved on to the city of Ephesus. But they were having problems in that church in Corinth, and they sent word back that things are really not going too well here. What do we do about this? What do we do about this? What do we do about this? We've covered a lot of ground so far, and we're coming towards the end of this book of 1 Corinthians. But they ask him another question. I want to read chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm not going to re-preach the whole message, but I want us to kind of get on the same page, and we're going to try to finish this up here today. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. So Paul says in writing to them, you had a question about spiritual gifts and the abilities that the Spirit gives believers. It's an important question. Certainly the other questions they asked Paul that he responded to were important, but this was important as well because, as we said, this is early on in the life of the church. It would establish how the church would operate, at least a charter for how the church should operate in the world. And the Corinthians here, well, we know this about them, that he said that they were very gifted as a group of believers, but yet they were not very mature as believers. He had to write to them in chapter 3 and state to them, you're behaving like infants, like babies. And so we recognize that we can be gifted and can do things that the Lord has empowered us to do, but maturity is also another matter that is very important. I want to look at a passage. We did look at this a couple weeks ago, and I think it is another verse that really addresses this spiritual gifts, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Peter writes, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. And so these special abilities that are given by the Spirit to believers are intended to glorify God and also to build up the church. And let's take a look. Eddie, if you would go to chapter 12 and verse 7. We said last time that this could probably be set up as the key verse to this whole chapter and really this whole subject. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other, so that we can help each other. As I said, that Paul would address this topic of spiritual gifts and how the church is empowered to do what it needs to do spiritually in chapters 12 and chapter 14 as well. So I want to read a verse from chapter 14 and verse 12. It says, and the same is true for you, since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. We know that spiritual gifts differ, but they are from the same source, and they are intended for the same purpose. What is the purpose of God empowering his people? To strengthen the church, to strengthen believers. Look in chapter 12 and verse 4. It says this, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service or different kind of ministries, but we serve the same Lord. And God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. And so we recognize that God uses people differently. And some people may have gifts that can be identified, maybe say the gift of explaining the word of God to God's people. But you and I recognize that it's done differently by different people. He uses different personalities and different ways of getting his job, his work done. And so the purpose of these spiritual gifts are so that we can help each other as believers. As we said, the Corinthian church was very gifted, and Paul makes mention of that. But instead of building each other up, it was dividing them. And from what Paul wrote, it appears that their misunderstanding and the misuse of these abilities given by the Spirit was causing rivalry and division in the church. Now, we're not going to today spend time going over the long list that we took time to go through 2 weeks ago, and I would encourage you to take a look at it as well. But I want to today kind of jump in at this point. I think where we left off was Paul contrasting a speaking gift called prophesying, speaking forth God's word, and also speaking of this miraculous sign gift, what's called speaking in tongues. And it seems that there was a real interest among the people there in Corinth for that latter gift, the speaking in tongues. But he is going to lay out the case for how important it is to speak clearly God's purposes. And I want us to look at that today. I want us to go to chapter 14. I want to read verses 1 through 6. Again, Paul is addressing spiritual gifts. He lists a number of different gifts that are a part of causing the work of God to go forward, empowered by God. And he kind of really parks on this subject of clearly speaking what God wants said to people, all right? Here's what he says, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, and then I picked a few other verses here as well. Let love be your highest goal. By the way, that's following chapter 13, which is known as the love chapter, which if God spares life, we're going to look at that next week, chapter 13. But he says, let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Now, prophecy oftentimes gets confused because there's two aspects of it. One is what's called forthtelling. We lay out what God has already revealed, and that's done on a weekly basis here, the Word of God being laid out for God's people. But there's also the element of forthtelling, which we speak of prophecy or prophesying, all right? So he says this, he says, especially this thing of speaking forth God's purposes. Let me read on. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies, here's a key right here, lets us know. One who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. And he goes on to say in verse 5, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. Dear brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking an unknown language, how would that help you? But if I bring you a revelation or some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. Let's go to verse 19. Paul says in verse 18, he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you, but in a church meeting, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in an unknown language. Let's read on, verses 23 through 25. He explains it a little more fully. He said, even so, if unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your church meeting and hear everyone speaking in an unknown language, they will think you are crazy. But if all of you are prophesying and unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your meeting, they will be convicted of sin and judged by what you say. As they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed and they will fall to their knees and worship God, declaring, God is truly here among you. Let me tell you, Paul does not discount the miraculous. He writes here. He even says, I have experienced God coming upon me such that in ecstasy I speak of God's glory and praise. He said, but in a church meeting, I'd rather have 5 words that can be understood than 10,000 where people are just confused by it. And that's something important to consider. So, you know, we mentioned last time that there are differences of opinion. Christians land in different places regarding the gifts of the Spirit. Are they still in power, still in use? Are they still available? How does God use them? And, you know, what it should bring forward among God's people is that we may not land in the same place on just the expression of the gifts of the Spirit, but we are to treat each other respectfully and honor Christ in all of our dealings and try to figure out just how it all works. I would say this, friends, that I think I mentioned it last week in regard to the miraculous. We need to understand God can do and will do whatever he wants to do. Amen. But we don't need to try to pretend. Just let him do what he wants to do. and not discredit the very thing that, God can do. Now, I want to move on from there. I didn't really want to spend too much time on that, but I want to really get to the what I think the heart of the matter here about spiritual gifts. You know, one of the many exciting parts of a life in Christ is discovering how God can use us and then making ourselves available to serve him and his people. I've seen this through the years, and I've experienced it in my own life. What a sense of, fulfillment, of greater purpose, when I have sensed God taking what he has given me, because it's a spiritual gift. It's not something that we generate ourselves, but it's what God has gifted us, and we use it for his purposes. Has anybody ever experienced that, to say, you know, I sense that God used me in this way? And it's interesting that that would correlate to how we are, how we're wired as humans. You know, I've heard people say that one of the needs of humans is that we find ourselves contributing in this life to something, some purpose that's bigger and greater than just ourselves. That is, you see it over and over. And that sense of, this is why I'm here. This is what God has for me. And that's the very thing that God empowers us, believers, people who look to him to get what he wants done accomplished. And when you and I understand that and we step up, as frail and feeble as our attempts are, and we see God do something with that, it is unbelievable. It is really an eye-opening thing in our lives. And so we recognize this, that this spiritual gift that God blesses his people with are such that we can help others. It's not given for self-promotion. It's not given for prideful comparison. But that seemed to be what was going on that Paul had to address among those people in Corinth, that somehow they felt more elevated, more important to the work of Christ because of what they could do, what God empowered them to do. And not for putting down other believers who we deem their gifts less impressive. I do want us to go to chapter 12. I said we're going to be bouncing back and forth here between chapter 12 and chapter 14. I want to read some important verses here, because Paul emphasizes this in verses 22 through 24 of chapter 12. I'm going to read the verses for you, and then we're going to talk about it. It says this: in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and less important, least important, are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. Seems that Paul is emphasizing that the seemingly less impressive or the less upfront gifts, the behind-the-scenes gifts, might actually be more valuable to the strengthening of the church. And I've seen this through my years as a follower of Christ, that as a church, believers often make a mistake, sometimes regarding God's servants as celebrities. I've heard of celebrity pastors in recent days, and it's not gone so well in reality, where servants are somehow regarded as big shots, and those who have giftings, maybe the more upfront giftings, speaking, addressing God's people, leadership, somehow in people's minds are elevated above the other gifts that God has blessed the church with, and that's a mistake. I'm going to show you a couple things. I think this is important. This came to my mind as I was working on this message and reviewing it. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Peter is writing to some elders, those who have been gifted with leadership and the position of leadership in the churches. He says this: and now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. And here's where he gets down to it. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. And so, you know, I could take you to another place. This is what Jesus had to say to his disciples. And I think it gives all of us a good clue onto what this thing of serving him should look like. Let's go to Luke 22. I'm going to read verses 24 through 27. This was the setting. Jesus at the last meal with his disciples. And he informs them that one of them is going to betray him. Well, the disciples all begin to ask, you know, if it was going to be them. And then before long, here's what we read in verse 24. It says, then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. They start arguing before Christ is to go out and be crucified as to which of them is the most important. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a what?
Servant.
A servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Well, you know the answer to that one. The one who sits at the table. Of course, but not here, for I am among you as one who serves. You know what? In this area of serving Christ is that we are not to be regarded somehow as celebrities, but merely as servants. That's how Jesus laid it out. And Peter reminds those believers our task and our responsibility. Now, there's some things to consider. I've got a few things to kind of pull these passages together. And I know that us dividing it up in 2 weeks would have been better to just had it all done at one time so it could have flowed like that together. But I think we can pull these things together. First of all, some things to consider. Spiritual gifts are not to be used to simply entertain ourselves or to elevate ourselves, but they are used to serve the body of Christ, to build up, to edify the body of Christ. And I want us to go back to our passage now, 1 Corinthians, and start in chapter 12. We're going to just kind of take a quick run through some verses because I want you to see this. You know, when something in our Bibles is repeated once, twice, three times, four times, five times, you get the picture, don't you? This is important. Pay attention to it. So let's take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Let me read it. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians and verse 4. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Verse 5. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying, so that the whole church will be what?
Strengthened.
Let's go to verse 12. Verse 12. And the same is true for you, since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives. Seek those that will strengthen the whole church. And now verse 17. In the same chapter, talks again about praying, about the matter of this spiritual gift of tongues and prophecy. He said, you will be giving thanks very well, but it won't strengthen the people who hear you. And so we understand that as a very basis, what God blesses us with is to be used to bless others, to build up other believers. And that has been the pattern of the church, sometimes better, sometimes not so good through its history, all right? If you have ever taken a look at church history, you realize how wrong we Christians can get things. But we shouldn't get too proud about ourselves, because people will look back on us and shake their heads and say, those people, how did they get it so wrong? And they'll be talking about you and me in our Christian walk. So spiritual gifts are to be used not to entertain ourselves or to elevate ourselves, which seemed like what was going on there, that Paul had to write about it, but to serve the body of Christ. Here's the second thought, and that is this: to avoid thinking that we have nothing to give the body of believers, that we have nothing to give. Now, in chapter 12, there are a couple verses that really help us to understand this. Sometimes people would say, there's nothing I can do for God's people. I can't get up there and teach like you teach or preach, Bruce. I can't sing. I can't, do this or that. I can't work in any of the ministries. I don't even like little kids. So, it might not be your gift of ministering to young people. But we need to understand that each of us has a part to play. And I want us to look at chapter 12 and verse 11. He writes this. He says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So it's God who determines what each believer would have. Whatever ministry, whatever God has blessed you with, you are needed in the body. Look at verses 15 and 16. Paul makes reference here to the human body and likens the church to the human body. Many members, but one body. Okay? So here's what he says, verse 15. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, does that make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? To understand that, if the foot says, well, I'm not a hand, so I don't count. I don't mean anything to this body. That's a mistaken notion. Look at verse 18 as well, 1 Corinthians 12. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. And so it's not arbitrary, but God has gifted, it's by design. He has gifted his people with the ability to serve in different ways. And what that says to us is this: finding out how God wants me to serve his people, to bless his people, to build the body of Christ up so that God's purposes get done, it speaks of this, that there should be contentment in our role or our function. So was it the foot that said, well, I'm not a hand, I don't really matter, do I? That's a mistake, because you know what? The hand and the foot are supposed to work together to get the job done. And, finding out how God can use us and then engage in it, and then to rest in that. I've seen through the years where folks will come into a church setting and the body of Christ, and they'll think, well, I can't do that. I guess I'm not really any value. Understand that each and every one of you, as you serve the Lord, you are important, and there is something God has for you. All right? Here's the third thought, and I want us to look at today. These gifts become practically useless when love is absent. So in chapter 12, Paul begins laying out some of the gifts and the uses and some of the mistaken ideas regarding how God will use us. But in chapter 13, he spends the whole chapter talking about how important love is in this work. And I want to read verses 1 through 3. Paul says this: if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And the point is this, that these gifts, these abilities that the Spirit of God gives us to cause the work of God to be done. And I asked last time on this message, I asked you to raise your hand if you could recognize that God used somebody else and God gifted them to help you in your life spiritually, to understand, to be encouraged, to know, hey, I'm out of line. I need to straighten my act up here. Somebody who sang God's truths, like we heard this morning, sung to us to lead us in worship. If you can think and realize somebody has stepped up, and you know, God can use that. But these gifts become really practically useless. They have little impact. And in fact, the very wording here, it says a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like irritation. Anybody would like to have somebody beating a cymbal inside your house this afternoon all day long? Or banging a gong over and over again? Do you know, friends, when things that are good are done, but they lack love, it can be really irritating, can't it? Have you ever had somebody give you a gift, but you know that love didn't motivate it? What'd you think about that? And so, friends, we recognize that the motivation for this must be love for it to be really effective. Here's the fourth thing, and that is this, to regard each other's gifting, to regard others. You know, in this passage, it speaks about distinctions, the eye, the hand, the foot, the head. And so there are distinctions. We're not all one. Some people make a mistake when they speak about unity being uniformity, where everybody has to be the same. But it ought to be obvious to us that God is a creator of incredible variety. Would you agree? Amen. Just look at us this morning, how different we all are in the world you and I inhabit. But that doesn't mean that it all has to be the same. Some have mistakenly done that. I think specifically of the French Revolution back many years ago that intended to force a uniformity on people, and how God has wired us, it's just not going to work. But what this does, it allows some freedom of how God blesses us and uses us, but it all is to be funneled to work towards some purposes that God wants to see done. And so in this, we are to regard each other's giftings, all right? Let's take a look at verse 21 here. It says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. Now think about that. I mean, just let's take a moment and consider this. The eye can observe. By the way, the human eye is incredible. We've kind of laid out some facts through the years and statistics about the human eye that you and I often take for granted. But if it was just the eye, how would it lay hands on what it's seeing? How would it actually do what it can see? So we recognize that they work in conjunction. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. Let me read on. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. So the head is where the ideas are generated. But if you don't have feet, it's kind of hard to carry out those ideas. Do you get the picture there? And so, friends, that is why he's talking about the human body and how important each are, one another are, as people who are gifted by God. And look at verse 25. He says this makes for harmony among the members. You might have an interpretation that says, so there will not be division or a schism, a division among people, but that we should regard one another as important, as members of the body. And look at verse 26. It goes on to say this, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Let me ask you two questions here regarding this. If you have a pounding headache, your head just feels like it's going to explode, do your legs say, well, that's just tough. We're going hiking anyway. Let me ask you this, football fans. If you threw a touchdown pass and you win the game, does your left arm get upset because your right arm threw the ball? Nope. Your whole body celebrates, doesn't it? We're going to Disney World. Not anymore. So your whole body celebrates. In the healthy human body, the differing members cooperate with each other, and even compensate when a crisis occurs. And that's what's called health. That's a healthy human body. And the same is to be aimed for in the church, as we as believers are to cooperate with one another, to regard each other's gifts as valid and important. And from what Paul is writing here, you can tell by what he's addressing here that somehow there were some who maybe had the more upfront gifts, the more dazzling of these spiritual gifts. And wow. As we said before, we recognize that these spiritual gifts really have no bearing on salvation. It's Jesus who died in our place, and our believing God, taking God at his word, trusting his mercy. That's what brings salvation. And neither does it really speak about maturity, because you can have folks who are very gifted but not very mature. In fact, maybe lacking the very love that Paul was speaking about, and those exercises of those gifts would then just become irritating, like a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong ringing. And so we are told in this passage, and we recognize it, that we are to work together and to regard each other's spiritual gifts and ministries. Let's go to, here's number 5, and let's take a look now at chapter 12 and verse 31. He's wrapping up this chapter, and he says this: "So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts." Believers, we should desire to be useful, not simply noticed. Desire to be useful, not just be noticed. He says in this passage, earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And what should be the purpose? To help other believers to grow in their walk, to help other believers know about the promises of God, to help other believers to be encouraged, to help other believers to be challenged as they make their way through this life. All right. Number 6. No matter how we have been gifted, we are called to develop other areas of our lives. I can name a whole lot of them. Serve one another, show mercy, honor one another, tell others about Christ. They speak about the gifts of God and also the graces of God. And so I remember hearing somebody one time when they were asked to help fold up chairs from a church meeting, they said, "I'm sorry, I can't do that. That's not my gift." That's not my gift. So a mistaken idea there. There are things that we are called upon as believers to be a part of. And there's a lot that God has for us. These things of the gifting of believers are helping to get the work done, to do the work of Christ. This areas of the graces of God are about how we are to be. And Galatians chapter 5 speaks about that, the fruit of the Spirit, what our lives are to be showing of Christ's work within us, all right? And then number seven, we go to chapter 14. This is where Paul really wraps it up, this subject. Chapter 14 and verse 40, a short phrase, he says this: "But be sure that everything is done properly and in order." Everything is done properly and in order. And what he's saying there is this: just don't let things get stupid, okay? And he speaks about it specifically a little bit earlier there about understanding that if people come into our assembly, we want them to understand some things. First of all, that God loves them, that we are not super saints. We are sinners saved by God's grace. And we want people to understand when they come here that God has a purpose for life and that he's given us his word, and his word is good and it helps to set the direction and course for our lives. We could get in here and be swinging from these chandeliers here, having a good time in God. And it's not to say that we shouldn't enjoy and celebrate what God has done, but from what I read here is Paul says, keep your hearts and your eyes open for those who need to know what God is saying. And the Word of God can provide comfort and encouragement and strengthening, word for word. And so that should be a concern. It's been a concern of mine as I have been tasked to be a part of the leadership here at this church, that people would have an understanding of these very things. And that's our hope. That's our hope there. So be sure it's done properly and in order. Now, let's go back to chapter 12. I told you we were going to be bouncing back and forth, but I want to read the very last phrase here of chapter 12, verse 31. So he lays out, hey, this is a wrong concept regarding gifts. This is a wrong concept to think you don't matter, that you're, because you're not the eye, you know, you're not a part of what God is doing. Recognize that God's got different people doing different things. Find out what he has for you to do. Find out how, what stirs your heart for God, and get engaged. Don't just sit back and take this thing of living for Christ as just a Sunday kind of religious hour, but it's actually a part of how you do life. And find out what God can use you to do. Get engaged in it. Do it the best of your ability. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. If they're doing something different, thank God for it. You don't need to be in competition with them. You don't need to run them down. Just let them serve the Lord and you do what you can do. But here's what he says. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. As important as the gifts of the Spirit are in the church, there is something more essential still. And you're right there, chapter 13. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I just want to read chapter 13 and verse 13. He spends this whole chapter speaking about love, the importance of love. I got to just tell you, Deb and I we really have put a moratorium on watching too much news in the last couple of years. It just was so confusing and such a mess. But with the Ukrainian war going on, we try to find out what's going on. But they had a short clip about a young boy who had a serious disease, and he had just gone to school, and he's in a little, he can't even walk on his own power. He's got a little, almost like our kids would use, a little thing we'd put him in and they'd scoot along. And he's about 6 or 7. And there's a little girl in the school that has just taken up with him. I don't know if anybody saw that clip. It was a short clip just last night. And she walks with him in the school to everywhere he's got to go, and they're just buddies. And they showed at the end of this clip of her giving him a hug, and his little face looked towards her. And I told Deb, I said, you know, love, when we feel it, it's so real and it's so important. And just that short little clip I saw in that little boy's eyes directed towards her, his little friend, it can be mocked. It can be made fun of on your late night comedy hours out there. But when you experience real love, I'm not talking about just sentimental emotion and all, but real love, you know how important it is, and you know how valuable it is, and you know what God is, it's all about. All right, let's take a look. I want to read this verse here, and then I'm going to close with one passage from 1 John because it speaks about love. After all of this about love, he says this: three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. And, you know, in life, to love and to be loved, how important it is. Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 4. I want to read here verses 7 through 12, and then we'll pray and we'll have our invitation. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And that's what we're going to be talking about next week. Let's all stand. We're going to close this service in a time of prayer. We've been speaking about spiritual gifts, about how God empowers his people to get his purposes done. You may be wondering, how can God use me? Again, friends, open your Bibles and realize that God, it's not just somebody standing behind a pulpit. It's not somebody singing. That's not the only way God gets his work done. So you be praying and asking God to show you. You may already stumbled right across it and you found out, boy, God uses me. God can use me in this way. I'm going to keep showing up. And I want him to take what I offer, what I bring. I may not be an eye. I may not be a hand. But I'm something. I'm going to serve the Lord. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the direction that your word gives us, Lord. And help us as your people to have a burning desire, Lord, to be used by you, to be a part of getting done what you want done in the time that we have in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for those who have used their gifts, their abilities to bless others and to encourage others. And Lord, please help us to continue on that good work. And Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for that knowledge of your love for us. And Lord, thank you for calling us to love you and to love others. Lord, we know that's not always as easy to do as it is to say. We ask you to help us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.